Hello.
What's up, Ray?
Is it Neil I'm looking for?
Raymond's.
Oh, what up, buddy?
It's a cloudy Saturday, man. Chilling. Here in the nutmeg state of Connecticut.
Nice. Cloudy's better than smoking. Vegas still has a lot of smoke from the Cali fires, the Nevada fires.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on over there, and a lot of gamblers and a lot of shit going on in Vegas. You know, believe it or not, I've never been to Las Vegas.
What
As
is
much,
wrong with you?
yeah, never been there, man. As much as I've traveled, I've never had a well. I shouldn't say a reason because you should just fucking go anyways. It's Las Vegas, but just never got out there. Been to Cali several times. But just never got around to going to Vegas.
Oh, you
One
missed
day.
out, dude. We were peaking it pre-pandemic.
Yeah, no, I heard it's a fun time out there, but I always hear from people that you could only as a what should I say, a tourist, when you go there visit, you can only stay about 5 days and then you get drained out. If you're going to party, you know, gamble and you get about 5 days and then you're kind of sick of it. You want to go home. That's what people tell me.
Oh, well, I can't even imagine 5 days as a tourist, man.
Yeah. I mean,
Three to four max and
at
just
my
live
age,
it up.
yeah, 4 days and then I'm fucking done, man. I'm like, all right, time to go home. At my age now, I mean, you know, but so for the viewers, this is a new show for me. It's an unnamed show. Maybe we should have the viewers come up with the name.
Dude, that would
But
actually be pretty fun because my brain's tapped.
I got Ray Munns from MTV, an old buddy of mine here, and he's going to be co-hosting with me on a new show. And right now it's currently unnamed, so it's up in the air, but it's going to be me and Ray talking about pop culture and doing a lot of Shudder exclusive horror film reviews. And Netflix exclusive reviews because we're both film buffs and just shooting the shit.
Well,
You
and
know?
by film buffs, I'm assuming you're talking about my biceps, right?
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
I'm pretty buff,
Because
bro. Oh,
you're a buff guy.
that'll be great if someone Googles and they're like, oh, okay, he's definitely
Buff
being
guy.
sarcastic. That dude is nowhere near buff. Like, what the? That guy's a walking twig.
Either am I.
I'm like, yo, my ligaments, man, they show really well once I tan.
Yeah, you're a pretty skinny dude. You're a pretty skinny dude. Since the MTV days, I remember you're a pretty skinny dude. But that's all right. It's all good. I'm a small dude myself. No need to buff big dudes is out, man. Girls don't like those big muscular goofballs anymore. You know what I mean?
No, Joe Coy nailed it.
No.
Women like good credit scores.
Jobs and good credit scores. Yeah,
And
same
I'm down
boat.
with that because I got a great credit score.
There you go. Yeah, so we're floating around with names, but it's not going to stop us. We're still going to do the podcast and unedited too. Fuck it. I mean, this is really fly by the seat, you know, and that's what people like to see, you know, just throw shit on the wall and see what sticks.
Now I'm just
That's it.
worried because you keep talking about viewers and seeing and do you have a spy cam on me?
Yeah. We're watching you right now. Well,
Shit.
the government's watching everybody.
Well, that
You
always
know
makes
that.
me laugh. Anytime someone says something that's just a gem on the phone, I'm like, oh yeah, NSA definitely saved
Well, I mean,
that one.
as you know, Ray, if you have an iPhone or even an Android, if you have a phone and an email address, you're pretty much being monitored by the government. But we won't get into that. It, you know, that's how the world is now. We've come to accept it. You know, there's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. People are dealing with shit. You know, so we're, you know, they might want to listen to a funny fucking podcast with, you know, two goofballs just shooting the shit.
Oh,
That
and
that's
dude,
what we're gonna give them.
real quick, I got to give a shout out to a friend's company. She sent me
Sure.
some freaking bath bomb like product line, okay? And she's a Blush Bath Co. at Etsy. And holy shit, dude. Like, I quit bathing for ages and turned into a shower guy, and now I'm back into being like, all right, fuck it.
Really?
Worked out. I'm not that buff, but I'm definitely just going to soak in this tub.
Nice bath bombs and stuff.
Oh, dude, yeah. they're freaking huge. And she sent me, like, what is it? Like the stress aromatherapy one. And oh, I suck at, like, listing or, you know, like describing smells. I'm not good at it. But yeah, dude, I literally just melted into my tub for a half hour and then, you know, rinsed off and was like, all right, I'm ready to write. I'm ready to watch the freaking host. The hell.
Yeah. The American host. And that's what we're going to discuss today. We're going to talk about the Shudder exclusive phenomenon horror film that everybody's raving about, Host. It's not The Host. It's just Host.
Okay. So it's just Host.
It's just Host.
All right, because I don't want to have everyone go and watch the Korean movie, The Host.
No.
Is that the big difference? Because I know when we first talked about this, I straight up, I was like, yo, what's wrong with you? That Korean movie is amazing.
Yeah. Big, not the classic international Korean film, The Host, which is a sick film. This is the American, British, actually not even American. It's the British horror film Host, just called Host.
Wow, and so this was British.
Yes. My friends overseas. And don't knock the Brits because, as you know, I write for a British film website for years. Top 10 films out of Britain. So I can't knock my friends over there. Yeah.
Oh, well, and dude.
Shout out to Dan Stevens, who's the editor and creator of Top 10 Films over there in Britain. Yeah, so it is British. It's a British horror film. And it's along the lines of Paranormal Activity and Unfriended. When you watch it, you get a kind of computer screen view. The participants are in Zoom. And the premise of the film is there's six friends. They get together and they want to do a seance. And it doesn't tell. That's a weird thing. That's the first critical thing I'll bring up about Host, Ray, is that they don't give a reason why they're doing a seance. Normally, in a film, you'd have like a leadway premise of why they're doing a seance, like my dead grandmother, I want to get in contact with her, my dead grandmother.
Yeah, 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 or that childhood friend or something.
Yeah, there's no reason. It starts out where, okay, you see the six friends, they're in front of a computer, and they're like, okay, let's do a seance for the fuck of it. And they get like a professional seance person, this lady, to bring them in and guide them through. And they don't know who they're realming up in the spirit world. That's the first, like,
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like 15 to 30 minutes of, and I don't know about you, but that I wanted to die.
Well, that's the first thing that makes you go, Remember that song, Things That Make You Go, That's like, that's like the first, like, okay, why are they doing this seance? Like, who does that? Who just gets together? Like, you fuck around with a Ouija board maybe when you're younger with your friends, but, like, they're doing it on, like, Zoom and making this big production out of it, and there's, like, no leadway or, like, foreshadowing of, like, why they're doing this. So I thought that was weird in the beginning. I'm like, all right, let me watch, continue on. Seems a little interesting.
Oh, and I was the opposite. I was so bored that entire 30 minutes, man.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, but once the jump scares start, it gets a little interesting. Once that dumb girl summons the evil spirit to come in by accident, which I thought was ridiculous too. That girl was so annoying too. If you read my review on my Letterboxd review of Host, the little followers that I have, if you read my review, it's just like she's like the dumbest girl I've ever seen. It's so annoying. And on top of it, Ray, she's laughing about it. I summoned an evil spirit, and now
and what's screwed up? If it was real life, I'd be that same character. That would be me in this movie. I'd be the one who screwed around and then was like, oh, shit. I did this. Crap.
Yeah, I mean, like, you want to kind of forgive her. The characters were meant to be kind of annoying. The main character, Haley, who sets the whole thing up, she's kind of likable. As I wrote in my review, she's kind of likable. And you kind of feel sorry for her because her friends are just, like, so stupid. There's one that's, like, just really, like, a crybaby. She can't get a grip of what's going on. I mean, yeah, it's fucking, it's frightening shit that's going on, but, like, she just can't get a handle on it. And, like, it really is, it's a mixture of, let me get your opinion here, Ray. I could be wrong, but it's a mixture of Paranormal Activity and Unfriended. Basically, those two movies put together.
You see,
scarier than those two, I think.
Well, I'm glad you added that in, because the last 30 minutes, I loved it, man. I loved it. I thought the buildup was great. Just the different jump scares leading up to everything, and the intense pace in that last 15 minutes made up for the first 30 minutes where I was, you know, sitting here like, crap, if I take another bong rip, I'm going to fall asleep because this is just boring.
Yeah.
Like, great. We're witnessing a boring Zoom fucking meeting. Awesome.
What I think the director was trying to do is set it up. You know, like,
it was nice with getting us super bored. It wasn't nice.
It was boring.
Let's bore you set up, you know?
Yeah. Very slow burn. You're kind of, I think the director was kind of trying to get the character development, like where you get to know these characters, but you really didn't care because they were just so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, I don't even smoke weed and I wanted to fucking take a hit of weed maybe because it would just like maybe chill and relax. I know you were hitting the bong probably when you were watching the first half.
Oh, of course. It brought me down tremendously. I was like, that was a waste of weed right there.
But like,
I'm telling you, the first 30 minutes was just a task.
And like, if you could get through those first 30 minutes, it starts to pick up and you start to kind of like it. And like, you're seeing these like freaky things happen. A lot of what was that noise cliches in there.
But I love those cliches. So like that last half hour, like no exaggeration, that film went from like a negative 5 stars into, you know, like definitely upper threes, lower fours.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was entertaining. I really did. I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy it, but I don't get the super uber ultra hype of it. People seem to love this film. Maybe because it's new, it's a new film, and we know that media tends to hype up new films. Well,
and not even that. With the pandemic, I think we're all just starved for anything.
And that's a good point. It is a pandemic film. It is a film of the times.
Yeah, and I love that when she put on that mask to go outside, I was like, whoa, what a reflection of what's actually happening.
Right,
like, she straight up just put on a mask.
Good point.
And went running out the door. I was like, what the? I was like, that was pretty cool to include in there.
Which makes it relatable to the shithole circus we're going through right now.
Oh, my God. You know. It just hit me, Neil. That's why they were doing a dumbass seance, because they've been stuck in a pandemic for months isolating and bored out of their fucking minds.
Yeah, good pickup. True. What a weird thing, though, to pick. Like, they could have just played, like, Candyland or something.
I mean, I would have been like, let's just play some fucking Uno.
Yeah, like,
we'll figure it out.
You know, but it's an interesting concept. It was entertaining. I did love the jump scares, and I did like the ending.
Yes.
The ending was pretty sick.
The ending was on point.
Yeah,
it did, and then even though they got creative with how they did the credits, I kept expecting another jump scare during the credits, and the way they stuck to the Zoom so well, to where I was like, shit, like if they made a sequel, I would watch it.
I would too. Yeah, I mean, is it extremely original? No. But, I mean, the communication barrier gets lost somewhere in between the seance, and you know, you don't quite know what's happening. It's jumping around a lot, but I think that they tie together well, and you kind of get a bird's eye view through the computer screen, and it's almost like you're partaking in the seance, which is, I thought, was a unique idea. Like, you're the seventh person. Well, you're there with them.
And what I liked was when they actually took the time to stick with that theme and remove the webcam and, like, you know.
Yeah.
And move around with the webcam, et cetera, carrying the laptop, doing whatever they needed to do.
To get
that shot in there without, you know, literally just breaking the rules.
Right.
Which so many films do.
Where it's not like staring at the screen. You know?
Yeah.
There was some movement and action in there as well, which I thought was pretty brilliant. I liked it. I did.
Holy hell. From talking to you, I actually like this movie more now than I did 20, 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. It definitely was entertaining. I thought it was like the overall using what's trending today. He tied it in well, the director.
Big time.
Because there's a lot of films out there where it doesn't tie in well at all. So I thought he did a really nice job of tying in what's going on today into a horror film.
Now, the one thing that I totally did not like, where I understand the 30 minutes, I didn't care for it, but I get why it was there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was part of that slow buildup, puts you in the mood for the jump scares, you know. But
right.
I didn't like when they brought back the bearded guy and everything happened to him. Cause I was like, wait a minute. He was gone during the seance. Like his screen was closed up. Like he was not there. And that just, I don't know. At times if I've developed like my own, you know, film logic for what I'm watching, if I feel as though it's broken, it's, you know, its own freaking logic process. It leaves me just questioning that move the whole time. I don't know if I even explained that properly.
I could see your point because he almost escaped it. So you're like, all right, this guy's in the clear.
Yeah.
He got out of there. His girlfriend got him out of there. And he's safe. But I think it's kind of interesting that, like, okay, he didn't quite escape it. He got brought back. And now he's fucked. You know, like the rest of them. I kind of looked at it that way. Like, okay, this guy's back now, and now he's in trouble.
Touché. You see, it's all about perceptions, you know? Man. I love learning through other people's perceptions. Like just now. Like, I fully was like, what kind of move is this to make in the film? And now I get it. That was actually, all right. It makes sense now.
Yeah, I mean, because from a viewer's perspective, you're like, okay, this guy escaped this. You know, the one friend got away and now all his friends are going to die and he's going to be like, oh shit, all my friends died. But like, then he ends up getting pulled back in and he screwed like the rest of them. So from like a viewer's perspective, I could see why the director did that, kind of add a little spice to it, a little flavor to it. And then conclude the storyline
as well, since he introduced the
character.
Yeah, which
makes it more dreadful. Yeah, it makes him more dreadful because we kind of get to know he's the goofball of the group. You know, he's the only guy there, the only male. And, you know, he comes in, he's introduced, and then he goes, and then he comes back in. So,
wow.
I think that's why the director did that. But, I mean, the film's been getting a lot of hype. I've been reading the reviews, and people seem to love this film.
Well, dude, that last 30 minutes is amazing. And the fact that it's only 60 minutes long, isn't it less than 60 minutes long?
I think so. It's not a long film. It's pretty short.
Yeah, like it doesn't suck up your entire day. Like you can watch it, have some fun, and leave.
I kind of got the replay value isn't high on it. I wouldn't watch it again, really. You see it once and you kind of get the gist and that's it. You're not going to learn more of a perspective watching it again, I don't think.
Oh, you see, I'm actually excited to watch it a second time.
Really?
Just for that half hour, because anytime I watch movies with like just massive accelerated chaos, I tend to go back just to see what I missed.
Well, you know, it's another film that did the same thing as this film, Host. It reminds me of Blair Witch Project. It's
1,000%. 1,000%.
You get like in Blair Witch, you get like we'll go back in 1999, the brilliant Blair Witch Project, the original, the OG. Found footage films, there's that buildup. These three friends are fucking frighteningly, dreadfully scared out in the woods. And there's that buildup, and then that last 30 minutes, like last 20 minutes of the film where they're in the castle, the witch's castle. Blair, and the, you know, he's up against the wall. That is just fucking put the icing on the cake for the ending of that film.
I forgot how boring the first hour of that movie was.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. It's very similar. Super slow buildup.
Yeah. And, you know, like Blair Witch did the same thing. And, you know, it has elements of Unfriended in there, like I said before several times, and Paranormal Activity. The way the bodies get dragged and stuff really reminds me of that series. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of influence in the film to other films, which you see a lot in movies. And, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would recommend people to see this movie at least once.
Now, what was your favorite scene? Like, what made you jump the most? I know you're a horror aficionado.
Yeah, I like the ending. I like the ending where Haley, you know, she's in the dark room going through her house and the rooms. And, and these are spoiler alerts. We'll just say, you know, spoiler alerts here. If you haven't seen it, the evil spirit pops out. You see the physical presence right in front of her.
Yeah.
And then it just goes dark. It just ends. You know, gets it.
So that I don't completely spoil it if someone hasn't watched it, when the body drops, when the first body drops.
That was a good scene as well.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was what made me jump. I was like, what the? You got me there, guys.
That was a great jump scare. Yeah, that was a great jump scare. Absolutely.
Right. And that's honestly, I look for that, man. Like, I'm always, and not as far as wanting to experience it, which I do. I love getting the jump scare, but I'm always looking for it. You know what I'm saying? And they did a great job because I was not expecting that one at all.
Yeah, they did a good job with the jump scares. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Most of the time, you know it's coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they genuinely made me jump out of my seat a couple times.
Absolutely. Which is, it's hard to do in films nowadays, you know?
I'd agree.
It's so cliche to do that, but they did it really well in this film. I thought they did a great job with that. And here's a negative point, too, is I feel that we didn't get to know enough about the characters, too. That's a big thing for me. You're kind of like, okay, there's
six friends. So you care?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see where, like, you know, are they college, you know, old friends from a long, long time, or are they just like, you know, college buddies, or, you know, that's a big thing for me. Some people don't really care about that, but I think that's a big thing for me with films. Is maybe it's just like my film school background, but like, I care about what their relationships are to each other. Cause then you kind of get more of a story.
Yeah. You know? And you understand the interactions between them. Yeah.
Right.
1,000%. I think if it had more of that, that would put it in the 5-star category.
Yeah. It would bring it higher up for sure.
What did you rate this at?
I gave it on Letterboxd. I gave it, let's see here. Go to my page. I gave it 3 stars, which is solid out of 5.
I would give it 3.5.
3.5? Okay.
I think I'm more generous than you. But that the final 15 minutes really, for me, just nailed it.
I'm tough on my ratings. Like, 5 stars has to be really phenomenal. 4 stars, 3, you know what I mean? It was engaging. It was intriguing. I think for new horror, they used technology as the catalyst really well, like I said before. And it was fucking really scary film. It really was.
Yeah. Watching it alone in the dark is definitely the way to do this movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And people agree with me. I'm finding a lot of the reviews. I don't know if you read them, that they said it was scary as fuck. So, yeah, I mean, it is pretty. Think about it. I mean, you're in your house by yourself. You're not even with other people. and they're having this seance because of what's going on, the pandemic. They can't do the seance together like people normally do. And they're basically Zooming, chatting, meeting in a room. So they're by themselves in the house while they're summoning this spirit. You know what I mean? So that's another factor of like, holy shit, that's a scary situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's because
you're by yourself.
Definitely enjoyed this movie. I might just give it another watch tonight.
You know what? I might watch it again. Talking to you now.
Although, honestly, Neil, I might watch it again just to help me go to bed with that first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll turn that on and just by minute 7, I will be snoozing.
It's like Unfriended. Unfriended is kind of boring the first couple of minutes too. Like you're like, oh man, what's going on here? Okay, these people are on the computer messing around.
And, now, Unfriended, correct me if I'm wrong. That's the one where at the, isn't it at the end? Like, doesn't the girl like actually like run out or something and still gets caught?
I can't remember. I haven't seen it. I only watched it once, and I haven't.
Same here.
I didn't go back
so
and revisit.
Long.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I can't remember. It was a pretty freaky film. I mean, I remember that like this entity on the computer keeps fucking with these kids. You know what I mean? I remember that. And it's in the computer, and they don't know like what the fuck's going on. You know what I mean? It was a pretty freaky film, too. But it's another one that uses, like, you know, is using technology to tell a story. Literally, you know, like technology is what we're, you know, have what we have today, like Instagram and social networks and all this kind of stuff. And you know what I mean? So it's another one that used it pretty decently to tell a story. It's very similar to this film. You know, this is just another atlas of that kind of genre that we're seeing today. Host is, you know, there's been several of them.
Well, now, so, what is your recommendation for us to watch now? I need some movie picks here, Neil. Come on now.
Well, horror based or just general?
Horror based. Movies. That way we can talk about it next week.
Well, I watched it. I just recently watched a movie. It's my latest Letterboxd review, The Confessional, which is an interesting concept film, but not executed well. I did not like the film because, again, for me, Ray, the characters is really important to me, and these characters were even more fucking annoying than the characters in Host. It's a Shudder exclusive. We'll do an episode of The Confessional as well. I'll have you watch it, and then we'll break it down.
Well, I don't know, man. You just told me how much you don't like it.
Well, you know what?
There's a hard sell now. Like,
no, watch it. It's an interesting concept.
I'm like, look, I need recommendations for what to watch. You're like, all right,
you might like it, but you might like it, Ray. You might like it. You might dig it.
I didn't really like it, Ray. Here.
But you know me. You know me with films. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. You're definitely not as generous with whether they're entertaining or not. No, with whether they're good films or not.
Well, I mean, are you into anthologies? Horror anthologies?
Yeah, they can be fun.
Watch Scare Package. You're an 80s guy too. You grew up in the 80s. You'll like Scare Package. I recommend that 100% as a really fucking fun film. All fun right. Anthology. Watch that, and we'll talk about that too. It's a really fun anthology. It gives a lot of homages to the video store culture of the 80s, which I love. So,
dude, so do I. One of these days, once the pandemic is done, I'm definitely hosting a movie party at that Blockbuster, wherever it
is.
Yeah,
I saw that. I want to do that too. I want to get people to sleep over and we'll have a big movie fest. I think that would be awesome. And you could fucking bring weed if you want and all the booze you want. We'll just have an old fashioned party with fucking masks on. Fuck it.
Oh, dude, that'd be amazing.
You know what I mean? And like, just bring a bunch of film buffs in and just screen films. That would be a dream come true.
A masked up blockbuster sleepover party hosted by you and I sounds pretty fucking fun.
And we'll even have you like DJ too. Bring your DJ skills, man. And play a little music too.
Hell. Sorry if I just blew out everyone's speakers. Decided to take a little bong rip. My apologies.
hits from the ball.
Oh, God. Dude, you gotta cough to get off. But, yeah, man, that sounds fucking amazing. And I think we should actually work towards it. Maybe someone who's listening agrees.
That'd be cool. I mean, you know, get a pool together. Everybody pitches in a little bit of money, and we could do it. Pay for your own travel and pitch in for the rental and BYOB, you know, bring your own beer. And I don't know if we'd probably have to get like a liquor permit type thing. I don't know how that shit works, but like, you know, that would be fun, man. That would be really fun. I think a lot of people would be into that too.
Oh, yes.
You know, would want to do that.
I will actually look into this because this is something I would be into.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fun time, man. Really fun time, for sure. I'm getting excited thinking about it now, man. That would be awesome. I think I think it's in, like, Oregon, if I'm not mistaken. That last Blockbuster that rents it out. I have to look into it. It's in Oregon.
Oh, God.
And I've never been to Oregon, so that would be pretty cool to check out.
Dude, Oregon's gorgeous. Really? This could definitely turn into a real thing, man. I think this would, yeah.
Never been to Oregon, yeah. So.
Fuck yes.
That would be cool.
Should we leave our listeners on a cliffhanger right now?
What do you mean?
I don't know. How do you do a cliffhanger?
I don't know. I mean, we talked about them. We didn't give away really much spoilers. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, you recommend people watching it.
Lights I recommend off, Home Alone.
Yeah, I recommend too. I mean, even bringing a, you know, even watch it with a couple of friends, or we'll have a watch party, or watch it yourself, but. You know, I mean, like, it's just a really pumped up, hyped film right now. And it's the new, you know, it's Shudder exclusives are great. I mean, I've seen a lot of great Shudder exclusives. I recommend Shudder to anybody. Shudder's a great service. If you're into horror, and I'm not sponsored by them. Shudder, if you ever listen to this, if you want to sponsor me, I'm all for it. But definitely get Shudder. I think they raised it up a dollar. They sent me... But even it was at $4.99 price point a month, which is peanuts. But now I think it's at like $5.99 a month. $6 a month, you get great horror films and you get Shudder exclusives that don't show anywhere else, where it's films like Scare Package and Host.
Oh, hell, you just dropped a commercial just like I did for my buddy.
I mean, you get these great exclusives. And it's really cheap a month. So, I mean, if you don't have Shudder, get on that shit. Get it. It's really worth it. 100%. I don't think there's much more he could have did with Host, the writer and the director. I other than maybe some more character buildup, I don't think there's nothing really much more they could have did with it. They bombarded it with jump scares, which was smart. And I think that was purposely done in a smart move. Because those kind of films, you really got to have jump scares. Because imagine watching Host and taking out the jump scares, Ray. Here's another analytical aspect.
Well,
take out the jump scares.
It would
be a horrible film. Yeah. I mean, it would be dreadful, just like horrible. So they had to impound them jump scares in. And for people that don't know, I might sound silly here, exactly what jump scares are. it's, you know, it's basically like you don't see it coming. It just fucking comes out and you're like, oh shit, and you jump. Basically, literally what it is, jump scares. And there's a lot of those in this film. There's a shitload.
You know, I'd say there's more in this movie than five other, like, just average horror movies that aren't designed strictly for jump scares.
Like you said, when the body drops, I didn't see that coming. It's dark all of a sudden and the light comes on in the fucking body. She drops down. It's like, holy shit. I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, that was so, the body dropping was an excellent scene.
And then also what I liked is where they had that girl who had the screensaver where it's not really her. It's her, but it's not in live time going like over to like the stereo or something. One of the girls, one of the friends, and it keeps playing. And they think it's her.
The loop.
Yeah, the loop, and they think it's her, and it's really not her. You find out, spoiler alert, but you find out it's not her. That freaked the shit out of me, too. I'm like, holy shit, is it her or not? I thought that was brilliant, too. There was a lot of brilliant aspects to the film. I thought that was really clever, too.
And you still only gave it 3 stars. God, you're tough, man.
I mean,
you are tough.
I could go 3.5 easily. I could. Talking about it now, I could go 3.5.
Thank God.
You know, but yeah, that loop thing was quite brilliant. I did like that too. I remember watching it back and I'm like, oh shit, that's pretty ingenious. You know, because it's not really her, but you're like, is it her? And the friends think, is it her too? And then you're like, oh fuck, it's the loop.
Yeah, I think they incorporated the whole shared experience aspect really well.
Yeah, absolutely. Where it's like again, where it's almost like you're in the seance with them. You're on the Zoom chat with them, experiencing this, which makes the fear more imminent. You know, makes it more live. So shit. Yeah, I mean, I could give it 3.5 stars, for sure. You know, but.
Nice. I have turned you to the side of being a little more generous.
Yeah. You know, because I read the reviews, I'm like, people are overhyping. It's like the film, the Kevin James film called Becky. Did you see that? Revenge film?
No,
Becky?
I saw the previews of it. And
you gotta watch
like,
that too, Ray. You gotta watch that too, Ray. It's pretty cool film, but there's a lot I didn't like about it. But there's a few things that I did like about it. My people interested, they could read my Letterboxd review on that too. But that was a Shudder exclusive also, Becky. It was along the lines of The Ranger. Did you see The Ranger Shudder exclusive?
No, are they they're this many Shudder exclusives?
Yeah, The Ranger was fucking fantastic. I gave that, I think, 4 stars or 5 stars maybe even. The Ranger was great. It's a feminist revenge film, but it's really good. That's the genre. Feminist revenge. Same thing with Becky. But Ranger was better than Becky, in my opinion. But they're both solid films. Yeah. So definitely see Becky. And The Ranger.
Becky. All right.
Yeah, it stars Kevin James in a whole new light. He's in a whole new character. Like, you see him in funny roles mostly.
Yeah, so where I've seen the previews where he
he's a white supremacist, basically.
He looks intense.
Yeah. And he's scary in it. He's pretty fucking scary in it. But yeah, that's a good one too. And if you want to talk about films we recently saw, I watched the King of Staten Island last night, Pete Davidson's film, Judd Apatow film.
Nice. How is that, man?
It's basically based off of his life. It's a semi-biography of Pete Davidson from SNL fame. If you like Pete Davidson, you'll like it. Basically, he plays himself, pretty much. And it's a classic Judd Apatow film. The only thing missing is it doesn't have Seth Rogen and James Franco in it, like most Apatow films. But it's a little bit darker than the average Judd Apatow film. it's basically a slacker, not ambitious, unmotivated slacker type of film, character-centered film, which I'm kind of sick of. It's a beaten genre, right? But it, I mean, it was entertaining, but I can't really relate to those characters anymore. So it's like, I mean, if I was in my 20s, yeah, I'd kind of get it. But now it's like, come on, man, you know, pull your boots up, pull your life together, dude. You know what I mean? Like, but it was entertaining. You know, Pete Davidson was funny in it, and like, it had a great cast. Marissa Tomei, Bill Burr, which I love, the comedian Bill Burr's in it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's got a really solid cast.
All right, so I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend watching it. It was a pretty funny film.
How many stars did you give it, Neil?
I haven't reviewed it yet. I don't want to give that away, but I will be reviewing it soon, but I haven't reviewed it yet. So look forward to that. But I mean, I definitely recommend it. You know, a lot of people like Judd Apatow films, and they're popular. So, I mean, if you're, like I said, if you're a fan of Pete Davidson, you'll get a kick out of it. Like I said, it's semi-biographical of his life. So, I mean, there's a lot of funny moments in it, but it's kind of a dark film, but there's a lot of funny elements to it that actually made me laugh out loud. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah, there's some moments that made me laugh, like, you know, so that's a plus.
Well, I mean, you know, any showing of emotion watching a film is definitely a plus for the...
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. It's in Redbox right now for $1.80. It's worth a rental.
You are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like...
yeah. I mean, you know...
Redbox, contact Neil.
we live in a streaming world. I still Redbox. I do.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a streamer, man.
No, I mean, hey, it's the wave of the future, man. I mean, it's been like that. Streaming is the way to go. Now, it's easy, and, you know, I do it, obviously, with Shudder and Netflix. I stream them. But, I mean, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, the movie industry now is so different from you know, like, even 10 years ago, man. You know, it's just like you see it evolve. And this accessibility of films is just so humongous right now.
And you know, it's great.
It is. Absolutely. For film fanatics, hell yeah.
Oh, I mean, hell, man. Tonight, I'm debating ordering Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that's on my list. Must see. Huge fan of those films.
So that's my big thing. My big debate is, do I want to buy it or just rent it? Because it's I think there's a $5 difference in price on Amazon. So.
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves. So that's a selling point for me, man. Like, you know, take my money. I love those guys. Yeah. I mean, I'm when I was working at Tribeca, I had the opportunity to meet Keanu Reeves, and he's just the sweetest, nicest guy. He actually, Ray, he bows to you. He's really into Eastern philosophy, Keanu Reeves, and he bows down to you when he meets you. It's amazing. Like, he's this huge star, you know, great actor, great humanitarian for what he does, and he came up to us, the crew and the staff of Tribeca, and he soft-spoken bowed down, like, you know what I mean? Like, put his hands together and nodded his head down.
Wow.
You know, as a celebrity, yeah, you don't really see that. So, I mean, just a super humble guy. It was really great meeting him. Very tall. He's just got a presence to him. Very tall, soft-spoken, natural, charismatic guy, you know. So I mean, yeah, I'll be watching Face the Music, and I'll be doing a review on it as well. I've been waiting for this to come out. I'm a big fan of the original. I love the original Bill and Ted's.
Well, I mean, who doesn't, man? Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
You know, yeah, it's a classic. You know, it's a classic. I saw it at the Fourplex here, the legendary Fourplex in Connecticut. Wow. Shout out to the Fourplex. Yeah, when I was a kid, I saw it. Summer of 89. And I was just like, these guys are the coolest, dude, man. The Wild Stallions. You know?
Wow. It was like,
yeah.
89 is when that came. I was nine when that movie dropped.
Yeah, I was going into eighth grade. Summer of going into eighth grade. Yeah.
Wow, you're old.
Yeah, I'm old as fuck. There's a lot of movies. Ray, there's a lot of movies that prepared me to go into high school. Yeah, and that was one of them. That was a great time. Yeah, great time in films. 89 for summer films. I remember that so vividly, too. Yeah, that's where I really got into film back then. It just was such a big spectacle to, like, see them on the big screen. It really pushed my love of film. Like, you know, just it was an experience. Like, you know, I wanted to be those guys. I watched Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I was like, these guys are the coolest guys. You know, and, like, even all the Corey films. Those films just made me so happy, dude. You know what I mean? Like Dream a Little Dream and License to Drive, Lost Boys.
They were fun.
That whole span of 87 to 89, yeah. Like, in film, just fun movies.
Wow. Really? I haven't heard of Dream a Little Dream in ages.
I love that film. I get my balls busted for being a male, masculine male, for loving that film, but I don't give a fuck. I loved that film. I loved their characters. I loved Corey Haim's character, rest in peace, Dinger. I just loved that film. It was just so relatable. It was about a bunch of high school kids. I was going into high school when that came out, so I really related to those two guys. And, like, Myrta Salinger, I just had such a crush on her. She was just so hot in that movie. But yeah, I loved Dream a Little Dream. My favorite Corey's film.
Wow. Yeah, I remember none of it other than I really liked it as a kid.
It was a strange film. I mean, and it had a lot of legendary actors in it. You know, I mean, and it just was a fun film. And I gotta give a disclaimer in this podcast. We review a film, but we don't review it the whole time. We go into other, me and Ray go into other avenues. We just talk about whatever. We'll talk about another film. We'll go here, there, wherever, you know. So that's the gist of this podcast.
Oh, we're just here to help you kill time for an hour.
Yeah, we just talk about movies we love and, you know, just shoot the shit. But, yeah, I mean, that time period just was inundated with fun films. Like, the Lost Boys added a comic book culture element to it.
Oh, my God. It was just right up my alley. I just came up with a title. Weekly Ketchup with Neil. What?
Weekly Ketchup? Weekly Film Ketchup or Weekly Shudder Exclusive Ketchup with Neil? I don't know. Let the fans, if we get any viewers, let them pick the title. You have me, who's an unknown film fanatic who writes reviews that, you know, nobody ever sees. I'm not a famous person here. I just a guy who loves fucking films. And we have, you know, that MTV guy, Ray Munns, former MTV VJ, DJ. You know, I don't have to shoot your resume off, but, you know, Ray.
Overall, really,
you know, Ray
buff guy.
MTV, really buff guy.
I think that's just the best way to describe me these days. Super buff.
The guy that kept winning the MTV VJ contest and they couldn't seem to get him off MTV.
I ruined it for everyone else. Permanently, I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry. I didn't know I'd be the reason they canceled it permanently.
But they gave Dave Holmes, shout out to Dave Holmes, they gave him the golden egg at MTV, but you were the stain that just wouldn't leave. So
basically that.
There you go.
So
yeah, I mean, that time period, yeah, was just a really favorite time period for me with films, you know. So to see Bill and Ted's come back after all this time is just like, that's just awesome to have the original two guys come in and it brings you right back to there. And, you know, I read some reviews, some people said it was really like juvenile and not really good, but dude, it's fucking Bill and Ted's. You had other people that were like, I loved it, you know. I'll probably like it because I'm a kid at heart. And, you know, I like that story. And, you know, it's one of those films that just brings you back. You know, and it's a fresh new story. And, you know, I got to definitely see it. It's a must see. So I'm definitely going to check it out.
Fuck yeah. I believe I will also be doing that tonight.
Yeah. Why not? If you've seen the first two, why not? Silly not to see it. You know, but, you know, but I mean, what do you think about this new horror trend of like in the past 10 years with, you know, the seances and the evil spirits and using the technology? Films like, you know, Friend Request and Unfriended, Dark Web, Unfriended, Host, all these films that use this kind of element. What do you think about that, Ray? Do you think it's entertaining, clever, or a sign of the times, or do you think it's already a saturated genre? What's your opinion on it?
No, I think it's great. I think everything's got to evolve.
Yeah. You think it's progressive?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Everything needs to change. If, it, you know, 100 years from now, we won't even recognize horror movies.
Yeah, it's going to be a totally different, who knows what horror movies will be. I mean, they keep trying to push the envelope. And I think it really started with Blair Witch. Because I think at a time, like, you know, you had the slasher movement coming back with the godlike, rest in peace, Wes Craven, who brought Scream to us, the brilliant Scream series, in the early 90s, you know, 96 and up, which kind of brought the slasher. But there really was nothing else going on in horror at that time, if you remember. And then, like, Blair Witch came out and just blew the doors off. And then, like, from there, it started that kind of trend of, like, you know, spiritual, supernatural horror kind of going in. And then, you know, like the paranormal series and all this other stuff coming. And that seemed to be the way versus slasher human aspect.
Well,
so it's interesting.
From a production behind the scenes point of view, I feel we just have that saturation because it's friendlier on the budget. But if you do it well, you know, it allows all of us to discover new directors, new actors, and some of those people make it much further with bigger budgets and bring us gems, you know?
Yeah, people like Ty West.
Yeah.
Who's done a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, I loved the Ty West, should I have it on DVD too? The Innkeepers. Ty West film, The Innkeepers. I thought that was a great film with Pat Healy.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that was a good one. It's kind of slow moving. It's a slow burn, but I like the story of it. And I liked, Diggers series? Or was it called Grave Diggers? Where they're trapped in the asylum? Grave something. Grave Encounters.
Oh, that wasn't bad.
I liked that series, too. I did. For a found footage kind of film, trend, genre type film, I did like Grave Dig Encounters. That was a scary one, too. I like the story of that. But, you know, yeah, you see a lot of these. There's another one. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, we mentioned The Wretched. That's another one. That's another one that's kind of taken the invasion of the body snatchers and like this evil entity growing in like a physical thing type of storyline. It's another one. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a new film as well. And you know what I'm seeing a lot, Ray, is these psychological thriller type films, which I really enjoy too. Like Confessional, we'll go back to that. That's a psychological thriller film too. Wasn't brilliant. I recommend people watching it once at least. You know, like psychological thriller type films are big too now, are coming back. There's a lot of those as well. You know, like Exeum. Exeum is another Shudder film. That, I loved Exeum. Exeum was brilliant. Because I love situational horror films too. I watched recently another one, The Odds. That was another one where like this person is stuck in this situation. There's another one called Would You Rather, which is quite brilliant too. I loved Would You Rather. That was a great one too. They're all coming in my head now. The Perfect Host. That was a fantastic film.
Wow.
Yeah, The Perfect Host was great.
That's just a huge list of films you just spouted out.
Yeah, I mean, they're great, entertaining films. The Invitation, that's a freaky one. That's a Netflix exclusive, I believe. And that one is freaky as fuck, man. The Invitation is really freaky film. And I mean, I won't give it away, but it deals with, you know what, if I even say it, I'll give it away. Just watch The Invitation. It's a little bit of a slow burn in the beginning, but it's worth it towards the end. Just, it's like a godsmack at the end. Really well written. Really good film.
All right.
The Invitation. Yeah. I feel like
you've given me and everyone else a ton of homework.
And there's another one too, Ray, The Den. The Den is really freaky. And these are all free films you can see on, you know, they're not new films where you have to pay for them. So if you have Netflix and you have Shudder, you can watch these films. They're currently on there free. So The Den is another one, really freaky. And also Hangman. Hangman's another fucking freaky film. Found footage film.
You are a freaking walking encyclopedia of movies, man.
Hey, man, these are all reviews I've done.
At my holy, Letterboxd. Holy mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy mother.
Yeah, these are all reviews of films I've watched.
Wow.
But you know what? They're all good films, right? There's another one that I really, really recommend called After the Dark, I believe it's called. And a brilliant written story. And I don't throw that word around lightly. Brilliant written story.
It's After the Dark, huh?
I bought it. I watched it, and after I actually bought it on DVD. I believe it's called After the Dark. I'm scrolling through my letterbox here. Yeah, really good psychological, well-written film. And I can't seem to find it here.
You freaking cheater. This whole time, I thought it was all right out of your brain.
Well, some of it, but I'm going through. Yeah, After the Dark, I gave it 4.5 stars. It's so witty. It's a really good psychological thriller. And I believe it's on. I want to tell people where the CD is, too. I believe it's on Netflix, maybe. But there's another one, Await Further Instructions. Really brilliant sci-fi horror film. that ties in social satire really well.
Oh, I remember that one. That's the one with the TV telling him what to do, right?
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. Okay, so yeah, you've seen it. And there's a lot of films I didn't like on here. I give bomb reviews. I mean, Kim, people love this. People seem to love Kim with the female director that was trying to give a social commentary on sex workers, sex sites.
Oh, okay.
Which are popular, you know, sexual workers, sex sites. But it was an actual negative viewpoint. It just was horrible. I gave it 2.5 stars, and that was generous. People seem to like that one. It's called Cam, basically, C-A-M. And I just thought it was horrible. The main protagonist, she was just so fucking unlikable.
Wow.
You know. Yeah, I mean, even like there's another one that was an exclusive, Velvet Buzzsaw. That was too. That was a popular one. I remember that one.
Ewan McGregor was in it.
I gave it 2 stars. I thought it was horrible. No.
Wasn't it Ewan McGregor? No.
No. Jake Gyllenhaal was in it.
I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jake Gyllenhaal. I just thought it was just horrible. It just didn't tie in well. But here's a film that popped into my head that is the recommendation of the past decade. This is my number one. And I actually searched around and bought this film on DVD, and they actually made a part two. I'm a big fan of Mark Duplass. It's a film called Creep. And there's got to be careful because there's two of them. Not the British version Creep where the girl's trapped in the subway, which I did see well, which was an okay, decent, creepy film. But this film is called Creep, and it's directed by Mark Duplass from the famous Puffy Chair fame. It is a fucking brilliant film, right? If you haven't seen it, my recommendation of the past decade. It's called Creep, and it's just so innovative, just a brilliant 5-star, innovative, found footage film. And I can't rave enough about it. Go right now. My viewers, go stream Creep. I think it's still available on Netflix. I saw it on Netflix just from the cover of it. And then I read the story and I was like, I got to watch this. It is just an intense, brilliant film.
Well, then hell, man. I'm going to get off now and go watch The Creep. At the very least, search for this thing.
It's not The Creep. It's just Creep.
Okay, Creep. I have a list of like 5 movies I got to watch now.
Watch Creep. I know you're going to love it. It's just such an intriguing film all the way through. Like, I was glued to the seat watching the whole thing. Like, it's one of those films where you watch and you don't want it to end. You're like, oh, I want more. Like, I want this to go on. It's that intriguing.
Wow.
Yeah. Brilliant writing. It's just such a quirky film. And it's an old film. I think it came out in like 2000. I don't even know if it's decade. I can't do my, it came out, I think, in like 2014 or something. So,
well, that's definitely not a decade.
Okay. Yeah. It came out in 2014. Well, within the last 15 years we'll go then. Does it make 15, Mark? That's 15 years.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I gave it 5 stars on my letterbox. 2014 it came out in. It's not a, you know, like I said, it's not a new film, but it's just an amazing film. So yeah, I recommend seeing that for people who have not seen that. And I could give you recommendations of my last, in the last 15 years of brilliant films, clever films, horror films, Better Watch Out. There's another one, fantastic film. Hush, amazing film. I loved Nightcrawler. Green Room, fantastic film.
Oh, Green Room was fun. That was with the punk rock band, yeah?
Yep. Summer of 84, amazing film. Brilliant. Here's another film I know you'll love, which I can recommend to you. but it's a really old film. It came out in 2007, and this is a Magnet film. I love Magnet films. The horror subdivision of Magnolia Films, Magnet.
Oh, I didn't know that's where Magnet came from.
Yeah, yeah, they're the horror division of Magnolia Films, Magnet. And I'm a huge fan of Magnet. Murder Party, amazing, one of my favorite films, in my top 20 films. Murder Party, it's called. Brilliant, brilliant film.
Murder Party.
Yep, it's a 5-star film. Yeah, so those are some recommendations for you, man.
Holy hell.
Have you seen Hellfest?
Oh, yeah, I've watched Hellfest and the other one with a very similar title.
Haunt was very similar. Haunt was another one that was very similar to Hellfest. Yeah, I saw Hellfest in the theater, and I actually bought it on DVD. I liked it enough. I gave it 3.5 stars. I thought it was a fun, entertaining film. Just one of those films that takes your mind off stuff. Not too deep, but just like, and the characters were kind of likable. And, you know, it's just like I love those kind of attraction places. So, yeah, I enjoyed Hellfest.
Yeah, it was a fun movie, man.
I did. It really was. It was perfect description. Just a fun movie.
Like, holy hell. All right. But on that note, I'm bouncing on you, Neil.
Yeah, I mean, we're in 66 minutes, so this is the launch episode of, you know, the snobby film critic guy and the MTV guy. And this
I'm just
is
a
the
guy.
Unnamed show, rather. The unnamed show. That's quite brilliant.
Hey, it could work.
The unnamed podcast, the unnamed show. I like it. I kind of like it.
All right. And on that note, dude, it's been freaking great. I'm going to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's been cool rapping films with you, man. We'll
catch you up next week.
Do the second episode. Yeah, and like, you know, whatever you want to do it on.
Ah, dude, well, let's talk Bill and Ted next week, and then we'll do another Shudder exclusive. I'll pick one from this list since you've already
all
seen
right.
it.
I'll watch Bill and Ted's, and we'll give our little quirky synopsis of it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already gonna say it's great. I haven't even seen it yet. As long as they use some sort of circumference, I'm in.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. All right, then, freaking peace out, buddy. I gotta.
All right, man.
I got some issues from drinking a ton of coffee.
All right. Till next time, tune in next week for the unknown pop culture show. The unknown.
Unless you guys come up with a better
name. I'm sorry. I keep saying unknown. The unnamed show.
Sweet. Peace.
The unnamed show. All right, man. Peace.